So you want to do a show now, or?
Yeah, we should probably do a show. It's right.
From Los Angeles.
Live from Los Angeles, California. It's Foul Territory. The shortest cold open we've ever had.
That was the coldest of openings.
That was bitter cold. And it's probably fitting because it's very warm here.
Yes, 90
in Seattle.
Here.
It's 90.
Yeah.
In Seattle, it actually got over 70 for the first time this year, and everyone's running around in shorts and t-shirts. But it's
gonna that is sexy.
Yeah. It'll be back in the 50s.
It is a sexy time of year, John. I'm not sure what that means. Oh, hey, John, are you John Sumple?
I'm John Sumple, at John Sumple on Twitter, and you're?
At Jed Rigney.
And you're Jed Rigney, at Jed Rigney.
No, I'm just at Jed Rigney. Like many people, I've decided to just make the at permanent.
So that's so people call you, they'll call you Mr. At Jed Rigney?
I mean, sometimes people call me Jed for short, but it is short for At Jed Rigney.
But what do they, if they want to call you real short, do they call you At?
No, because then it gets mixed up with a lot of people, including a friend of mine whose name is Atman.
We're breaking up a little bit.
Are we?
But we'll keep going. Yep, we'll keep going. We're going to push
The people listening, they won't even know. We're just going to pretend. Sometimes you talk about stuff I'm not even listening anyway. So what
I was doing my taxes a couple of weeks ago.
It didn't show.
No, it didn't. It was the best show. That was the show that we had the best show. As normal, we're going to kick off the show with headlines. And that's basically a look at what's going on in Major League Baseball.
That's right.
So the first thing that this was a big story given the political and divisive climate that there is in the U.S., but the Red Sox, Orioles, yes. The burgeoning, I guess, apocalyptic rivalry between these two teams, as it took a whole different turn when there was some racist taunting of Adam Jones in the game on, was it Monday night or Tuesday? Monday night.
Right, so it's like this giant vortex of craziness that's going on. Because we talked about this last week, the hard slide from Manny Machado from the Orioles. He hits Dustin Pedroia, and then one of the Red Sox pitchers throws at Manny Machado's head in the last game of the whatever. So now they're playing again this week. For those of you who don't know much about baseball, first of all, condolences. Second of all, first step is admitting you have a problem. Third, baseball teams play each other a lot throughout the year, and if you're in the same division, it's a lot. So it's not like football where it's one or two games. It's
19, same division 19 times 19 a year.
19 times. So they're playing again this week. Amidst all of the madness of these two teams starting a hatred for each other or whatever, some idiots in Boston start yelling racial stuff at Adam Jones.
And throwing peanuts at him.
Well, a bag of peanuts.
Let's
not get too carried away. It's not like they threw peanuts at him.
I think a bag of peanuts is worse than individual peanuts.
You know, it's so funny. Every time you say peanuts, I'm thinking penis. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, this is the worst thing that has ever happened on a baseball field if a bag of penises was thrown at him. All right. I don't want to belittle the point. Boston has a racial problem. However, almost 80% voted for Hillary Clinton. So let's be clear about that. It's a very confused area. But it does have sort of this racial thing with blacks or African-Americans or whatever, blacks, right? And they've had this thing in Boston.
And it is strange because they've had star players
there. The center fielder,
African-American descent.
Right fielder.
Yeah.
The one who's closest to most fans is African-American. He's black. It's Mookie Betts.
And apparently Bradley and Betts have said that they hear things occasionally as well. So it's not just the visiting teams. But I thought it was interesting that the next night after all the denouncing from the commissioner's office and Henry, you know, did the right thing and set up a meeting and got together with Jones the next day and apologies and all that. So then I think it was Mookie Betts that encouraged the fans to give him a standing ovation. So then they show pictures of Jones in the batter's box with people standing up and clapping. And then there's other people just sitting there.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of sends a message, not a very desirable message, but interpretation is, are those the racists?
It's such a weird thing too, right? Because like maybe they just didn't know that we were supposed to cheer for, like maybe that guy's not on Twitter, but it just looks bad, right? It looks terrible, right? So then whatever, 2 minutes into the game, so Jones strikes out because he's hitting up against Chris Sale, who's right now the best pitcher in baseball. And it's looking like a bargain that the Red Sox got him from the White Sox. Anyway, so then Manny Machado comes up, and it was the first pitch or second pitch. Chris Sale throws behind him. He has to jump out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have all this stuff going on. And so then all of this sort of like, hey, okay, things are calming down. No, like that lasted 2 minutes. Good. Now we're back to baseball. And Chris Sale's kind of a, let's say, red ass, right? Like he's...
Right. He gets agitated very easily.
Yeah. And like, okay, so but then later on in the game, Manny Machado hits a home run off him. Red Sox win the game, whatever. So then we come to today or yesterday or the day before, whatever. Yeah. So then Wednesday, the commissioner's like, look, any shenanigans and you're tossed.
Right.
Adam Jones got tossed for, it seemed like, sort of griping about the strike zone a little bit as he was walking away. Got tossed. I figured, like, if anyone should not have been tossed,
right,
it should have been him by the white umpire. Like,
right,
maybe we let him gripe a little bit and walk away after he just had all this stuff happen to him in the outfield. And then the pitcher for the Orioles hit Xander Bogaerts out of the game immediately. Mm-hmm. But he hit him with a curveball.
Which you is don't, not intentional
when you're trying
ever.
To hit someone, you throw a fastball because you want to direct it. But it was just a curveball right. that got away and hit him. Anyway, he's out of the game. It's just it's like this thing that just keeps wanting to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just no way that it's not going to fall. So it just, you know what I say? I just say, let it fall apart. People will forget about it. They always do on all this stuff. Maybe a player or two doesn't forget about whatever. We give all this attention to it. This is the thing. Obviously, it's sad that there's still people in this country who think that yelling racial stuff is like the cool thing to do or like the way to, it's just so sad. Not sad like it actually makes me cry, but just like,
no, it, yeah, it's
so disappointing. Like,
but it's that crowd
mentality.
And
you think about it, like, these are like expensive seats, man. These are people who paid money. These are not necessarily just like some dumb white guy that's there. Like, this is someone who's, you know, at least lower middle class, right? And like, has got some coin to spend. He's going there and he's going to yell stuff. Like, it's so weird. And, you know, there's a lot of talk in the country about, oh, all the racists voted for Donald Trump. And well, I think that's garbage. But there are still racists. And it's so weird to see it manifest like that when it's just like, there's so many other things you can do. Like, you can make fun of Adam Jones's strikeouts or his socks or his declining defensive abilities. Hell, I once spent a whole game yelling at David Justice about Halle Berry. They had just split up, so I just spent the whole night yelling at him about how happy she was now with me. This was in L.A. He comes, he's in right field. I'm like, hey, there's David Justice. David Justice just broke up with Halle Berry. Guess what, David? I'm going to be talking about Halle Berry for the next 3 hours.
Did he ever acknowledge you?
No, I will say, though, I only got to about an hour and a half of yelling, and I can yell. I mean, you can tell from this voice that this voice, man,
carries.
Wow, it carries. But it was all great fun until my friend Mike stood up and yelled, hey, David, Halle Berry is in my trunk. I swear to God. And like the whole section just went quiet and I did not say another word to David Justice at that point. I felt like a line had been very much crossed and I didn't want someone to think that I was the one that had yelled this crazy thing.
Wow. That is crazy.
Good times. Mike's great. Mike's a good guy. But he missed the tone.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like the person who comes that has no comedic timing and comes into a conversation where everybody's cracking up and delivers a bomb and just quiets the room.
I have never seen a bigger bomb ever dropped in a public. It was spectacular to behold because our whole section just went quiet. Like that, because everyone's thinking like, well, that's probably not true.
Right. Probably not in your trunk. Is it?
But maybe someone else is in his trunk.
Right. There's a shovel and a plastic wrap in his trunk.
Anyway, so that kind of taunting, I think, is great. Well, except for the trunk part. But that kind of
Is he friends with Aaron Hernandez by any chance?
No. You know, well, no one is now.
So speaking of, you're talking about bombs, the once promising New York Metropolitans franchise has basically taken a major nosedive due to pitching issues and Syndergaard saying, nope, don't want an MRI. And then 2 days later, he could be gone for quite a while.
Right. So the story was there was some discomfort, and for Syndergaard, who people who listen to the show know I am totally in love with, and but you know he's been a little off on his last couple starts, and then there so there was some quote unquote discomfort
in his bicep. So it was a bicep tendon thing,
right? And allegedly,
right? Allegedly,
and so he was supposed to pitch on Thursday. And they were like, ah, let's just push it back a couple days. But apparently he was good to go on Thursday. So they push it back a couple days. He goes, was it one inning?
Yeah, a little bit. But he was asked 2 days earlier to have an MRI done, and he declined.
He declined. And then there was this whole hullabaloo with the manager, the general manager, right, saying, like, well, we can't throw him in the MRI awesome tube. Right. It's up to him. If he doesn't want it, then, which I don't think is actually true. I think as a baseball employer, they actually could force him.
Those MRI machines are a little claustrophobic, so maybe he's got an issue with claustrophobia. I don't know.
He's Thor, all right? He doesn't have a claustrophobia.
He makes a lot of money.
Right. If he's having trouble with his body, which is his business, which is his livelihood, get in the tube, buddy.
Get in the tube, right. So then he goes out, pitches, one and a third or one and two-thirds innings, and feels some discomfort and comes out of the game. Right. They do the MRI, and he's got a lat tear,
right,
a partial lat tear.
They're saying 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Could be a little less, could be a lot more. I saw someone list like all the past lat tears in the league from like the last 10 years, and it's anywhere from like 14 days to 150 days.
And they're already out. Lugo's out. Matz is out. Yeah. So now they're three-fifths of their starting lineup going into the beginning of the season is now
gone. Yeah, and Harvey's been having trouble ever since he got shifted in the rotation. Mm-hmm. His last two starts have been really awful. DeGrom just got hammered on Wednesday night. What else is there?
They're not looking good.
Gisellman? Mm-hmm. Gisele Bündchen? They might want to get Gisele Bündchen out there. But yeah, Robert Gisele Bündchen is, he's got, I don't know, like a 6 ERA or whatever. Like, he's throwing trash. Like, this is a team, I mean, this is a team that was dependent on its pitching to do well. The offense has been a little bit of a surprise with Jay Bruce and another guy I'm in love with, Michael Conforto.
Yeah, who you dropped in fantasy and picked right up the next week.
Yes.
And right after you picked him up, he went crazy.
He went crazy because I dropped him because they were saying no playing time for him.
Right.
And then I just was like, then they found some ways to get him in because they had that situation. We'll get to this later with the Dodgers too, because there's this situation where you have too many players for too few positions, right? So you have three outfield positions and a first base with the Mets. And they were sort of like trying to find a way. And then Conforto just kept hitting and hitting. And they got him playing center field, even though he's not a natural center fielder. But he just keeps hitting and he just keeps hitting. So I was like, you know what? I love this guy. I'm picking him up on my team again, even though I just dropped him. And, yeah, he goes off. He's, I don't know, three homers that week or whatever. It's been great. I'll keep him forever. But the Mets have been having these injuries that have been giving Conforto the time. Mm-hmm. But they have, Granderson, who's been awful, but Jay Bruce has been really good. Cespedes is coming back from injury. Conforto, so there's your four outfielders. And then they have Lucas Duda at first, who's, you know, he's always going to.
Streaky.
Yeah, streaky, yeah, and he gets injured a lot. You know, like mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of, there's five players for four positions, but I think there's a lot of playing time there for everyone.
I was saying that, I forgot what I was going to say.
You were saying about the 10-day.
Oh, the 10-day. Yes, the 10-day. It's wreaking havoc with, to a certain extent, it's wreaking havoc with baseball because there's no consistency. But at the same time, it is allowing them to play more. I mean, you've seen a lot of pitchers coming up and going down. People are coming up for 2 days and they're done. They're gone. They're basically, you know, funneling people in and out. But from a fantasy perspective, it is wreaking havoc.
Yes.
On lineups. I mean, I would assume this is similar in every league, but in our league, almost every team has four or five players on the DL.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about that is I was listening to some of the rotisserie experts, so the fantasy baseball experts, and they're saying that lots of leagues are just unilaterally adding more disabled list spots for their team, saying, mm-hmm. like, starting in 2 weeks, it's now X amount of disabled list spots. So, just because there's so many guys that are injured.
Right. And it's happening so quickly too that you're getting holes in your team.
Yeah.
Because depending on your strategy, if you have, you know, a surplus of bench players and the pitching staff, and then all of a sudden you get two guys that go on the 10-day DL that are position players, you have nobody to put them in until the week's over.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's just an interesting.
It's been wild.
Yeah, it's a different game for sure.
Yeah, it's been wild. It's being utilized quite a bit. Like, I don't think Cespedes would have been on the disabled list this past one. And so maybe then he would have played two more games. But then, I don't know, maybe long-term it's better because, you know what, he really needed 10 days of rest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a good feeling about this team, but they look awful and I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, the whole, just a side tangent here, the whole wild card thing is turning into like Hunger Games in the National League. Like,
it is.
I think, because you and I were talking before the season, that was pretty adamant, like, no, that team doesn't have a chance. I feel like there's like two teams in the National League that don't have a chance.
Right.
And right now, everyone else has a chance. I think we're talking about the Padres.
Yeah, they're within four games.
No, they don't have a chance.
Of right now, though?
No. I'm not talking about as of right now. I'm talking about for the season. Like, I think the Reds and the Padres have no chance of making the playoffs.
I agree with you on those, yeah.
But I think everyone else has a chance because I think you might need to just have like 82 wins. I think you're going
to
see.
It would be nice to see a competitive season where you had 15 teams that were, you know, within 10 games over 500.
It would be madness. It would be so wonderful.
Yeah, it would be amazing. And it's kind of playing that way right now.
It's playing that way now, but you know there'll be the teams that separate and whatever.
The Nationals are going to just continue to distance themselves from everybody else. They have this year's version of the Cubs as far as the offense is concerned. They're stacked.
Yeah.
So that's looking good. But let's speak about the other New York team that nobody thought was going to be a contender, and they've stolen the headlines away from the Mets completely, the baby bombers and the biggest baby of them all, Aaron Judge. He's like 6'8", 6'9", 275.
I was going to make a mongoloid joke, but I think that's considered not PC anymore, right? Can't make fun of mongoloids?
Yeah, no. All right, He tied the rookie record for home runs in April with 10.
Yeah 10. I think, and he's hit three since.
Yeah, he's going crazy.
Yeah, he's just mashing the ball. I love exciting young players. Obviously, I have a problem with it because he's the Yankees, right? Second problem, I was forced to trade him away last year. And by forced, I mean I traded him away last year in a fantasy baseball commissioner intervention on a trade that was somewhat lopsided. I threw him in because I thought the strikeouts were going to be too much for him. Mm-hmm. But he's walking and when he hits the ball, he hits it so hard.
Yeah, he's been impressive.
He's a monster.
So let's move on to, I'm hearing a little bit of feedback. And we probably should say, because we were 15, 20 minutes into the show, we didn't mention that we're having some technical issues and we're going to make the best of it. So bear with us. This episode is not as perfect as all of our other episodes.
I'm sure John's going to have fun editing this.
And I was, you know, it was interesting because when we were going to do the cold open, I was going to say that I had a feeling this was going to be the best episode ever. And that was going to be the cold open. And I'm like, oh, it took us 45 minutes just to get things underway. And we're going to you know, just push through and make it work.
Never bet on baseball, John, and never bet on baseball podcasts.
Especially this one.
Especially this one. This is a mess. We appreciate you people listening through this and surviving it.
Right.
You know, we are having all our difficulties here. We're having turbulence, for lack of a wetter word.
Yeah, it is. It's very bumpy ride today.
And I may have just said, for lack of a wetter word, and I'm very much infatuated with that now.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make that a standing segment.
Yeah.
The wetter word.
Wetter word.
Okay. All-star ballots are released.
Yes.
And they're
released 1 month into the season, the all-star ballots. I mean, why not just start it at the beginning of the season?
Well, they this year was the first year that they did that. They pushed it back till the 1st of May. And usually it's the April 1st that they release the ballots.
No, they didn't do it April 1st. Do they? I thought they do it like April 15th. They really do it on the season? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, then May 1st. You know what? I take back my complaint. May 1st is better. Unless you're mistaken, in which case I'm very angry.
I just don't like that, you know, there's, it's just obvious, you know, stuffing the ballots by certain teams. And it's,
you mean Baltimore?
Yes, that's one.
Those DC ties, man.
And it's that now
electioneering, man. It's all, it's gerrymandering, isn't that what it's called?
It is. And I think that we talked about this last year. I think we were starting up the podcast just before the All-Star game last year, and we talked about the whole idea of you can vote up to 25 times electronically,
right?
You know, with a given email address or an account on MLB,
right?
So you could have 10 accounts and vote 250 times if you want. I don't know who has time to do that, but I'm sure certain teams are doing that. It's just, I don't get excited about the All-Star weekend until the All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
I don't really get into the whole the balloting and voting and who's lead. But as a kid, I used to do. I used to follow it when they released them. It was exciting to see who was close. And
I mean, I'm always interested in it when it gets towards like the end of June, right? I so many times I've been to a baseball game when I was younger, and I was like, "Oh, cool, All-Star ballot. I'm going to fill out like 20 of these." I never got past one. I always just was like, "This is so much work." Like, oh, at each position, I just want to, oh, fine. So then I would not do the other 19 ballots that I had grabbed. But one was still good, and it's more symbolic or whatever. And I usually wind up doing a ballot each year online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'll find some moment of boredom where I'm just like, yeah, now's a good time for that. Anyway, or it isn't. I don't know. It's just weird that they're out this early. You're voting for your favorite players and the guys that have been super hot and who 3 weeks from now might be in the minor league.
Right. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, who stuffs the ballot box this year.
Yeah. You mean besides the Royals and the Orioles?
Right. So let's move on to, I know why you put these next two on here, just to see if I could pronounce the names.
I would never do that.
Really? Okay.
I would never do that.
I had to do some research. And so we have the first African to play Major League Baseball and the first player born and raised in Lithuania. All happened in the same week.
That's right. And same team, and too, right?
Same team, yeah. Too. And I've got a great little nugget for you here, but I'm going to pronounce their names
first. Let's do it.
So the first person is his first name is Mpo. And his middle name, I don't know if it's a middle name or a nickname, is Gift. So it's Mpo Gift.
Wait, is that Ngope. Gift or Gift?
Is it Gift or Gift? I don't know. It's like Jiffy. So
now, you know,
so
that whole thing, like, is it Jiff, a Jiff, or is it right. a Gif? Anyway.
But I like Mpo.
Mpo.
His first name is Mpho apostrophe. That's his first name.
Yeah.
And it's pronounced Mpo Ngope.
Are there any popping sounds? Is it like like that?
Oh, the FCC's coming.
That's not racist. That's a thing.
I know.
Oh, did I just say a swear word?
You might have. Hey, they do it on South Park, so we can do it, right?
Exactly. If South Park can do it, we can do it.
So the other player is Dovidas, and I'm going to – I just like the last name. So it's Dovidas Navarauskas. So
right. Navarauskas, never tell us.
Yes. But the great nugget here is back in – 2016, Ngope and Navarauskas, with another minor league player from the Pirates, were arrested after a barroom brawl.
Nice.
So these guys have a history.
Okay, Ngope, that reminds me of maybe the greatest joke I know, right? Hootie and the Blowfish gets into a fight in a bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a true story. So the story goes, so the guy goes, so Hootie and Blowfish gets into a bar fight, and then but then it spills out on the street, and they're fighting on the sidewalk. It's like a fist fight and stuff. And then the guy goes, "I know it's not true because everything that Hootie and the Blowfish does is in the middle of the road." That's my favorite joke of all time. Anyway, only because we're making fun of Hootie and the Blowfish. And you know what? I don't care if you only want to be with you or me.
Okay, is this going to go on all night? And probably my favorite story, yes, which is kind of a weird that it's my favorite story, is that a Cardinals fan was struck by a stray bullet during a game at Busch Stadium this week or last week.
Yes.
And the reason why it's my favorite story is because there was a lot. The report in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch just kind of struck me. A bullet slug was found, and this is the quote, in the immediate area around the victim's seat, according to police. They said it appeared the bullet came from outside the stadium.
Right. Right, because all the time you hear, well, you don't hear all the time people shooting, but like people shoot their guns.
Up in the air.
Right. And you know the old saying, what goes up Must come down, right? Must come down. And so this one came down and hit this woman at the stadium. I mean, St. Louis, man, that is a hard city.
In the description was that she all of a sudden felt something hit her arm.
Yeah.
And then she said, I think I've been shot. And people at first were like, what? You got what? And then when she showed that she had a hole in her jacket and a mark on her arm, that was all of a sudden it's shocking, to be honest with you. And of course, there's no comments at all from the person who was hit because she's been advised by her attorney not to say anything to the press because there's a lawsuit coming.
How can there be a lawsuit? I was actually just about to make a joke. Like, hey, do you think she can sue for this? How can you make a joke? How can you make a lawsuit over this?
They'll figure out a way.
But like, see, the thing is, like, I'm going to tell you this one thing about stuff that happens to you in baseball stadiums. You're fucked. Pardon the language, but I mean phuc dup,
right.
As in the Vietnamese mm-hmm. word. The disclaimer that's on the back of a ticket basically says, you know, it's Lord of the Flies. It's a Berkeley riot in the stands. Like, the team is responsible for nothing. If you get killed by a foul ball, too bad. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the player, like, launched it at a person's head deliberately. Well, maybe that would. Anyway, St. Louis, man, it's a hard town.
So next, friend Flush, we're going to accelerate the speed of this week's podcast to make sure that we get it all in. Yeah. So a friend flushes a fan's remains down a ballpark toilet. I heard about this. I didn't read about it. What park was it at?
I think it went to multiple toilets. I didn't see what park it was, but apparently it was a guy who was a plumber. So his friend went, and I thought this would also be a very fitting tribute for Albert Pujols.
Because that he would be putting them down a pool hole.
Yes. Pool hole. Yeah.
That would be fitting.
Ashes to ashes, poo to poo hole.
Right.
Something like that. Poo hole to pipe.
And isn't that the end of, not to ruin it for anybody, Captain Fantastic? Did you see that movie?
I did not see that movie.
Viggo Mortensen? Well, I just ruined the ending for you.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I don't think...
You don't think it's going to be on your playlist anytime soon?
You know what? I'm intrigued by the movie, but I don't know if I'll just ever get around to it.
Okay, well, I won't ruin it for you, but there is something similar to the story we're just talking about. So,
I mean, I guess it's a little bit like Big Lebowski, right? I don't know.
Yes, like, yes.
Throw Donnie's ashes. I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Let's hurry up. Let's talk about other stuff. We can move this along.
Okay, starting nine.
Starting nine.
Starting what? Nine. Yeah. This is for Cinco de Mayo.
So I was going to do like a bit, right? I was going to do like, hey, it's because we did for the Irish, right? For I was going to, hey, right. Look, here's Irish names. And I was like, hey, here are some Mexican names, right? But they'd just be uh-huh. Mexican names, right? Like, and then
right. They'd just be players.
They'd just be players. And I would just be like, oh, you know, I'd be using like a racist Mexican voice and then get in trouble for that or whatever. So I came up with something better because this is a little social justice warrior of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you know, but like some idiots, I mean, social justice warriors out there think that Cinco de Mayo has been culturally appropriated by white people because white people celebrate by going out and getting drunk, putting on sombreros and whatever, and celebrating a culture that isn't theirs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is one of the few things in the world, well, there's a million things in the world that I totally disagree with because that's what culture is cultures combining and... Sure. Turning into a new culture. That's what happens. Right. That's why.
And the U.S. is a melting pot.
Exactly. So
it's supposed to happen.
A white person can wear dreadlocks and a black person can dye their hair blonde. No one's appropriating.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're not doing it, I think, in a racist way or where you mean harm towards the people. Anyway, so what I came up with was I decided I am going to culturally appropriate Hispanic names. You ready?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit down for this.
I am.
Francisco Lindor. Try this on for size. Frank Beautiful.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
Carlos Santana. How about Charles Saint?
Very nice.
Domingo Santana. Don't worry. This is the only other Santana I'm doing. Sunday Saint. Right? Guy should be playing football. You imagine playing football against Sunday Saint? It's almost like Tom Brady's nickname, if you think about it. Or, you know what? Maybe it's Drew Brees. All right. Felipe Rivero, Philip Brook. You want to know who Joe the Baptist is? Well, it's Jose Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Sano. How about Michael Healthy? This is absolutely my favorite one I've ever done, and Anyway. Okay. So the next one.
Which one was the favorite? No,
this whole thing is my favorite. Like, I'm delighted. Okay. I don't even care if anyone likes this. This is by far the most fun I had on any of these. This is like I hoped the hockey one was going to be. Okay. How about Al Rectum? You know him better as Albert Pujols. Al Rectum. And, of course, the best player in baseball, Miguel Trucha. That's Mike Trout.
Right.
I'm going the other way now. I'm taking the white names. I'm turning around. Now, look, we can do this all day, but the absolute best one is Carlos Negro Hombre, and that's Charlie Blackman.
Wouldn't it be Hombre del Negro?
You know, it's hard to tell Carlos because Hombre it's like, del Negro. It's a black man.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did a Negro Hombre. That's
good. That's fine. It was good. I like that one.
Okay, good.
And it sounded like you had fun with that one.
No, absolutely. By far, like twice as fun as the next one, the next most fun thing that I've done.
With this podcast, not in your life.
No. Just with the starting nine, even. Not even with the podcast. Just with the starting nine. Sometimes the starting nine is a real challenge. It's a real tedious thing.
Well, you pick a subject, and then you have to make it work. And you probably sometimes are halfway through going, why did I pick this subject?
Usually it's not even halfway, man. Usually it's like 5 minutes in. Like, why did I pick this subject? Let's pick another subject. I was going to do one for Los Angeles because, like, hey, I'm in Los Angeles. But then I was like, no, it's Cinco de Mayo, man. Cinco de Mayo in Los Angeles. Hello, the Dodgers, right? Come on.
The Dodgers.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Come on. See, now that's racist. Let's move it along.
Let's go to the next thing. Are you buying it?
Oh, I love this section.
This is your new favorite.
Yes.
And you're kicking it off with a player from your team.
Yes.
He's in your minor league team. I don't think you're going to bring him up this year, though, are you?
Oh, no. I'll be... So he's on my fantasy baseball team, and we have a minor league system where you don't have to bring them up right away.
And we're talking about Cody Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger. Yeah, no, he won't be coming. No, it doesn't matter how well he hits the ball. My team will wind up in first place without him. I don't need to bring him up. There's no point in wasting that, starting his clock too soon, right? Well, the Dodgers started his clock. They brought him up. He's hitting the crap out of the ball. He's getting on base. He's walking. He's hitting for power. He's playing the outfield. He's playing first base. He's doing everything, John.
Right. And the Dodgers need it right now.
And the question is, am I buying it? Heck yes, I'm buying it. Now, here's the question. Are the Dodgers buying it, right?
Yeah.
Because the only reason they brought him up, will he stay? Exactly. Will he stay? Will they keep buying it, or will they be renting it, or will they be renting it but stashing it away? Who knows? Here's the thing. They have that thing we were talking about with the Mets earlier, where they have four outfielders and a first baseman, and they only have four positions. So you have five people for four positions because they have Andrew Tolles in left, who's been pretty good. Jock Peterson in center, and then Yasiel Puig in right. And they've all been doing well. Like, they've been playing. Puig had trouble last year, but he's hitting.
Yeah, I think that was the wild card coming in, was what version of Puig were we going to see. And the fact that he's doing well changes the dynamic. Because they have a surplus. And Ethier's out too, isn't he?
Ethier's out. And then there's also, you know, what's Franklin Gutierrez, who's right-handed and not a very good center fielder anymore. So he's sort of their fourth outfielder. He was their fourth outfielder. I guess Tolles is their fourth outfielder. I don't know. So they have Tolles and Gutierrez, their fourth, fifth outfielder. So, and you don't need to have more than five outfielders. So then when Andre Ethier comes back, if he does... So then you have six outfielders, and then you have Bellinger. That's seven outfielders. However, in all of the players we were talking about that are doing well, we did not mention Adrian Gonzalez because
he's doing nothing.
That hombre is definitely not doing well.
No.
I don't know if he has a home run yet.
I don't think he does.
He's hitting weak ass, soft, like his hard contact is really low. He's not as good a first baseman as he used to be. The only problem is, of course, $20 million a year.
Yeah.
What do you do? Anyway, so long term, of course, I love Cody Bellinger. Athletic, great first baseman or outfielder. Beautiful swing, like Sean Green beautiful. For those of you who don't know, Jewish baseball all-star Sean Green, just the prettiest left-handed swing. Really wonderful. And Bellinger's got it. And I think he's going to be a real nice piece for the team for a long time.
Yeah, they got a great young core.
Yeah. And speaking of beautiful lefties,
Freddie Freeman.
Freeman.
Swinging Freddie Freeman.
He started hitting last year. I mean, he's always been a really good player. But around mid-season last year, he started just next level. Mm-hmm. And that whole Atlanta offense has sort of gone with him. And I don't know if it was adding Matt Kemp into the lineup, or just an adjustment made on his swing or whatever. Plus, there's rumors that the new stadium for the Braves
is a hitter's park for
sure. It was designed specifically for Freddie Freeman to take advantage of his power alleys and his strengths as a hitter. And the dude is crushing it. It's beautiful. I am buying it. He does it this long, I'm buying it.
If only he could get some people on base for him. He's got 10 home runs and 16 RBIs.
Yeah, no, it's... Look, the offense there still has problems, right? Like Dansby Swanson, I almost put him on the list for MLB because I'm not buying it right now. I mean, he's
sitting below the Mendoza line, isn't he?
Yeah, like well below. Like I think he's the 140 or something like that. Like he's the shortstop there, and he's just not playing the level that they... Like, I think last year he was hitting 300. You know, and I haven't looked into his numbers. That's why I didn't put him on the list, because I didn't want to have to research yet another player. But the team overall, it's so funny because they have a very deep farm system, but they don't really have anyone who's like that guy. They don't have a Bellinger waiting to come up.
No.
They have Ronald Acuna, who's 19, who's doing well, I think, in like single A. They got guys in like single A, Kevin Maitan. But I think he's 17 years old. Like,
yeah,
there's still a couple years
top
away.
Top prospect is Albie. What's his last name?
Yeah, Ozzie Albies, right?
Ozzie Albies. Yeah,
who's going to be maybe their second base?
Yeah, but he's not a power hitter by any means.
He's more like a
contact hitter.
Contact hitter. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you picked him up in our fantasy baseball league. I was surprised.
I was surprised.
I thought he doesn't have the same fantasy value as he does whatever value. Real life.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling me after the draft. That's good.
I'm not going to tell you before the
appreciate
draft.
That insight.
I'm going to just watch people make their stupid picks and laugh. Not really.
See, I know that you are heavily into the whole minor league prospect thing.
Yes.
I am not.
I am heavily.
So this
into
is
it.
Yeah. This is doing the whole legacy leagues and it's the third season, but yeah. I've never done it before. So there's a learning process that you go
absolutely
through.
Absolutely.
And I'm used to, I mean, I played streaming for, you know, 4 or 5 years and got used to that. And that's a whole different ball game,
Sure.
Yeah. So let's move on to the Trevor Bauer story, injury from his,
the drone man,
Yeah. His drone accident. He hasn't been quite the same this year at all.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, he's got really bad ERA, but he has really good underlying numbers. So I'm not buying the bad numbers. I'm not buying the high ERA. I think there's something good here. If we're talking about, you know, is he going to be good long term or whatever? I think he's going to be good enough for the Indians this year. I think he's going to get his. I think he's going to be a little bit like Porcello for the Red Sox. Like, you remember the last time I was telling you all about Porcello. What do you do? Go out next game, 6 innings pitch, right. 1 earned run. Like
10 strikeouts, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, and then he'll have his 3 earned runs, 4 earned runs, but he'll also have the 1 and the 0s. And I think Trevor Bauer is going to be that way too. His underlying metrics are very good. He's got some really untimely hits he's given up.
Mm-hmm.
And in a small sample size, that's just luck. Over a longer course of time, it's like, oh, well, you're a bad pitcher. You give up unlucky hits because you give up too many hits.
Right.
But it's a, you know, it's just been a month, and I think his strand rate is something like runners get who he winds up leaving on base is like 58%. And normally that's something like 75% is sort of the average.
Hmm.
So when you see someone like Irvin Santana with a 98% strand rate, you think, oh, okay, so that'll probably come down. And then you see someone like Trevor Bauer with 50, 57, 58, that's going to go up. And so then his earned run numbers will come down, and he's still got those strikeouts. So I'm still a fan. I think he's going to be solid for them.
Good. Yeah. So what about Mark Trumbo, whose numbers are not looking too sweet?
Okay, so this is the Mark Trumbo that got traded from the Diamondbacks to the Mariners, and then from
Mariners,
the Mariners
right.
to the to the Orioles for like nothing, for a bag of baseballs, and then all of a sudden was in Baltimore slugging the hell out of the ball for 2 years. Now, you know, on-base percentage has been low, so that's, but he's always had low on-base percentage, high slugging percentage. Mm-hmm. Fine, that's him. And then I don't know what's going on this year, but it just, he can't hit the broadside of a barn. He had the walk-off home run on opening day, and ever since then, it's just been a black hole of offense. And of course, he's a pretty good first baseman, but the Orioles already have a first baseman with Chris Davis. So, yeah, I'm not buying. I think these numbers are more, I think he's not that good a player. I think he got his contract, and I think that he's one of those players who got their big contract, and that's going to be it.
But he's also a streaky hitter, too, so he can go on a tear.
Oh, he'll hit 25 home runs this year, but he's not hitting 40.
Well, those are fighting words. Mark Trumbo's listening. So, Jed Rigney, I'll show you.
My Yahoo has deleted all my articles, but I had many not nice things to say about Mark Trumbo's abilities when I was writing for the Angels and Yahoo. Many not nice.
So let's move on to Dylan Bundy and his pretty special start. How do you think his numbers play?
Well, here's the thing. Last week he was on this list, and I'm buying. I love it. He finally works stuff out. His next start, he's 2 miles an hour slower.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Yeah. That. And that means injury. Like 90% of the time, that's because the player's injured. Now, the one caveat I will say is that the radar guns at all the stadiums are a little bit, as they say, fook dupe.
Right.
They're having trouble getting them to be consistent from stadium to stadium for whatever reason. I don't know the science. Neil deGrasse Tyson can probably explain it better. Certainly Bill Nye couldn't because he's not actually a scientist. But, you know, God.
But he's a science guy.
He is a science guy. I guess he's not saying scientist.
Right. He's not the scientist guy. He's a science guy.
He's the science guy, which I guess anyone can be the anything guy.
Well, it's like you, Jed Rigney, the baseball guy.
Yeah, but I know something about baseball.
No, I'm just saying to the same extent that he knows about science. He's not a scientist.
If he knew as much about science as I knew about baseball, I wouldn't be making fun of him right now. Do you remember him back in the day? I don't know. You came to Seattle fairly recently, right? He used to be part of a comedy troupe in Seattle, kind of like a Groundlings, Saturday Night Live.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. And that's where Bill Nye the Science Guy came from. That was the only thing that came out of that show. And then he was doing Bill Nye the Science Guy. Anyway.
He was always appealing to kids when early on.
Yeah, it was a lark. Like when he came out on the Deflategate thing and he's like, nope, science proves that they tampered with the ball. Go Seahawks. Like, oh, okay. What your science, you sprayed the football with some water and said, look, it didn't deflate. Like, okay, science guy.
So, Dylan Bundy, you think that the...
I put a stop payment on the check. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
To go with the buying and the money theme, I put a stop payment on the check on Dylan Bundy. 2 miles an hour.
You want to wait till the next start.
Yeah. I want to see a couple more starts before I'm buying. I know in one of the fantasy baseball leagues I was in, someone just traded him away. And, oof, that's a smart move. Mm-hmm. Get what you can. You got to haul back. You know what I mean? You got a bunch of good players back. But it's tough. It's tough, man. Pitching is, look at Noah Syndergaard, like the unbelievable pitcher. But, oh, there goes his lat. And I'm telling you, you lose 2 miles an hour off your fastball for a pitcher, something's wrong.
Right. I know. Completely agree.
Yeah.
That's a sign of bad things are coming. So last week, Devin Travis was on the list too, wasn't he?
Was he?
Well, I thought he was on the list last week. Was he?
Yeah. I got two duplicates on here, John.
Oh, and so I'm saying last week he was on the list too.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So I'm assuming you're putting him on the list because he's picking it up a little bit since last week we talked about it.
Look, I don't know how much I'm buying it. And maybe I should have put someone else on here. But I just saw some hits, some hitting going on this week, some hard hit balls. That sounds funny, doesn't it? I saw him hitting some balls really hard. Like he was working that shaft of that bat on those balls. Like, it just sounds so gross. This goes back to when we were, like, trying to name this show, and it was like, everything sounds like a porn title.
That's right.
High and inside, like, the high hard one.
Right.
But I'm kind of in on Devin Travis. I think I might rent. That's all I have to say.
So I'm going to throw one out there that's not on your list. But oh, okay. I think he went 2 for 3 the other day, Buxton. You buying it?
Here's the thing. Yes.
He's finally going to turn the corner?
I don't know if he's going to turn the corner, but I think he can turn into 12 home runs a year, 30 to 40 stolen bases.
That will keep him in the game.
And that keeps him in the game. I mean, that's like an Ender Inciarte kind of thing. Plus, like, elite level defense. Like, the guy makes a great catch every 2 days. Like, an unbelievable catch every 2 days. And if he can just stop striking out as much. But he's getting the strikeouts down, and that's why I'm buying.
So he reminds you of Torrey Hunter in the outfield?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit more, you know, Cameron Maybin, Torrey Hunter, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a little less power than Torrey Hunter, but a little more speed. But yeah, I've got him on one of my teams, and I know he's one of those guys where in fantasy baseball you can't really trade for him, because if someone has him on their team, he's keeping him.
Right, because they've got a lot vested in him. Is that he's gonna, and the fear with that is that the second I trade him, he's gonna go off.
Exactly,
and I get nothing for
him. He already got his first home run yesterday. He's got a few stolen bases. Like, it's starting to happen a little bit. Again, cut down the strikeouts. That's a big thing. It's like the Aaron Judge thing. If you can cut down the strikeouts, he can control the strike zone, and then you just have to hit it hard.
Right.
And Buxton's got the speed as well, which can help him get a few extra base hits here and there, turn a couple singles into doubles, triples, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's it for Are You Buying It?
Great.
Which moves us into extra innings.
Oh, thank God.
A look at what's going on outside of the world of baseball. So we're going to...
How are we doing on time, by the way? Are we?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows with all those gaps? Yeah. All right. Well, let's keep going.
So we'll figure it out.
It's not that bad, though, because I think we're just over an hour.
Yeah,
as it is.
Over an hour, and who knows how much dead time is in there.
It's got to be a good 5-10 minutes of dead time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so NFL draft recap.
Oh, hey, I wanted to say one other thing. This when we were talking about GIFT or JIFT Ngope, first African player. That's kind of amazing.
Okay.
Just because, like, Africa's a continent. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about this when I was putting this in, when I was typing up the list. Like, the Lithuanian, who cares? Like, there's tons of... Not tons of Europeans. I guess there's not that many Europeans.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying like the entire continent.
But it's like the entire continent of Africa. This is the first African player.
Yeah, that is pretty.
Obviously not the first African-American, right? Jackie Robinson. Right. But African. It's kind of amazing. We've had Australians. I mean, I'm sure we haven't had Antarcticans yet. Fingers crossed.
That might be a while.
But we've had Asians, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly South Americans. Europeans. I'm talking about continents here, my friend.
Okay.
You're talking incontinence. What's next? We're doing extra innings?
NFL draft recap.
Yes.
So I know we talked last week about that we both watch it because it's, you know, at least the first round, I don't really care about after that. But there is a lot of pomp and circumstance and players moving up and sliding down. And there was some lunacy there.
There was some craziness.
Yeah.
For these two quarterbacks, was it three quarterbacks?
Three quarterbacks.
But the craziness was for two of them.
Well, the craziest was the second pick, you know, trading up and giving up so much to go up one spot for, I don't want to say marginal quarterback, but a quarterback who you're putting an awful lot of pressure
on. We're not talking about the next Peyton Manning here.
Yeah. And so this guy goes to
the Bears, right?
He's going to the Bears, but he went to, was it a Blackhawks game?
Oh.
No, it wasn't the Blackhawks. It was another or a White Sox game.
Okay.
He went to a White Sox game and they booed him. The day after the draft, he was at a White Sox game and he got booed. Yeah.
Well, maybe that'll be his, like, falling down the draft board, chip on the shoulder thing.
But it was just bizarre that they traded. I think it was like three picks to move up one spot.
Yeah.
And one of them was a first round pick in 2018. That just makes no sense.
No, I think it's pick for pick the worst draft move I've ever seen.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense.
One slot.
I don't think that there was any value in doing that.
If there's any sort of certainty that Trubisky or whatever his name is, which by the way does not sound like the next great quarterback.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Brady.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
If there was any certainty that he was going to be the next great quarterback, sure. They totally underpaid. But there's no certainty. He could easily be the next, you know, Ryan Leaf.
Right.
Like, there's nothing to stop him from being the next Ryan Leaf. Anyway, I was very pleased with how the Patriots did in the draft. I thought they had some nice pieces fall to where they were. They got some nice needs filled. And but those two trades for the was the other one, Houston Texans. That was I jumped mentally. I was gonna go to the Houston Texans. They overpaid a little bit, I think, to get their guy, but not like the Bears. Like the Bears is just that's just crazy town.
And Houston picked up the Clemson quarterback, right?
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a little bit. But, yeah, three quarterbacks that you wouldn't I don't think it was that Mel Kiper had. He's like, never draft a quarterback in the first round. So his whole thing is like, this is lunacy. Why are we drafting quarterback? Three quarterbacks that are not, you know, surefire first rounders. We're drafting them in the top 15, which was just a little crazy. What do you think of the Browns with their three top picks, three first round picks?
I don't think about the Browns. You don't think about them at all? I save myself all the trouble in the world, and I just don't think about the Browns.
Yeah, it would be nice to see the Browns kind of come back from, I mean.
That would be great.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say from the precipice. They're down in the, as far down as you could possibly go.
I'm all for like an underdog story like that. I'm all for it. I think it's freaking great.
Let's move on. Kentucky Derby. Usually I'm aware of horses that are going to be in the race. That's this weekend. And I have no clue about any of the horses. I haven't heard any names. I haven't seen any coverage at all about a, you know, featured horse to who's going to emerge as a potential Triple Crown threat.
Right. And normally I wouldn't know anything about the Kentucky Derby or ever talk about it to anyone ever at any time, except now. We've got ourselves a horse in the number 20 post or lane or whatever they call it, who's blind in his left eye.
That means he won't see anything along the rail, that's for sure.
Well, he won't see any of the other horses at the start of the race. Out.
Yeah. He'll be like, oh, wow, I'm just doing a training run.
I love it.
That'd be interesting to watch. I started watching Kentucky Derby when I was a little kid and was fortunate enough to see, you know, like three Triple Crown winners in 5 years. And then it was, 38 years before it happened again.
Yeah.
So it's always fun to, especially if someone, if the horse that wins the Kentucky Derby wins the Preakness, then it's like, oh, can't wait for the third leg and see if somebody can get the Triple Crown.
At the Applejack Stakes, the big third race.
The Applejack Stakes?
The Triumvirate Mega Show horse race?
That would be the Belmont.
Yeah, Belmont. That's what they're calling it now. Right. That's what they called it before was the other one that I was doing.
Okay, let's move on to the most controversial thing that happened this week.
Yeah, so Stephen Colbert on his show. Now, I just saw in the news that he's apparently talking about this on his show tonight, which good for him, whatever. But he got in some trouble for referring to President Donald Trump's mouth as Putin's penis holster. Peanuts, right? Bag of peanuts.
Right, bag of peanuts holster. Call back,
for those of you who remember. Anyway, so this is one of those things where it's like the wonders of social media. So he makes this bad joke. I don't think it was very funny, whatever. It's a little out of character for him. You know, like, he doesn't need to get that intense about this stuff, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, let's keep it light, Stephen.
Well, he started off very slowly as Letterman's replacement.
Yeah.
And this, since Trump was running and after he's been elected, Colbert's popularity has shot through the roof.
Yeah.
Until last night.
Well, he gets higher ratings, but not in the target demo, but he's still doing better than, he's doing better than Letterman was doing. You know, beating Fallon is a big deal, but I think it's obviously because of the political stuff, but you just have to know when a little bit too far is a little bit too far. Mm-hmm. And that's something that maybe was funny in the writer's room, but come on, people don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Like, that's not on a nighttime talk show. You know what I mean?
Well, it wasn't like it was on, you know, the 5 o'clock news. It is late night TV.
Yeah, but it's not like this, like the 2 a.m. show or whatever. Like, it's 11:30.
True. And it's still social media. It was all everywhere. So
yeah.
Whether you were 4 years old or 75, you could see it.
Yeah. And then, of course, it happens, right? And then there isn't the immediate blowback on it, because I think what actually happened was he said it, and then people got upset that people weren't getting upset about it.
But the response, the wave of negativity and calling for him to be fired is from the far right.
Right, but it is sort of like okay, so I see. So if the far right saying that if a person on the right said something like this, like didn't
which
they
did for eight,
which
they did
slut?
For 8 years, but they did it for eight
no,
years.
No, they never did
Obama.
That though, John. Come on, I'm all against. But there, first of all, there is no left late night talk show host, so that's a situation that could never happen anyway, right? So we're talking about like this is network television, man. This isn't cable. This is network television. There's no one was saying that about Obama on network television.
Oh, not necessarily on network television, but there were plenty of talking heads in the news space that were saying negative things. So,
I don't want to make it sound like I think no one said bad things about Obama, but the media was pretty light on that guy, and especially the late night community. They loved him. Mm-hmm. He was on every show a couple times a year.
Which was smart.
Which is smart, but also a little weird because...
Well,
let's
Clinton
stay away
did the
from
same
the,
thing.
So anyway, I wouldn't want to get into those guys or whatever. But, you know, my guess is, you know, in a couple of days, everyone will blow... It'll blow over because I don't think that the people on the right actually care. I think...
But what do you think, though, about Trump talking to the CBS interviewer and calling his show Deface the Nation during the interview?
What? Deface the nation? I have no problem with that.
I
have no problem with Donald Trump, the president of the United States, who is, we are all to blame for him being the president. Okay? We are all to blame, John. Left and right and center, we are all to blame for him being president. All right? I have no problem with Donald Trump continuing to be Donald Trump and saying things like the media is the enemy, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, Hillary Clinton said crazy stuff like that, called everyone that supported Donald Trump a racist and deplorable. Like that, come on. That's not okay. You can't say that about broad groups of people and then chastise people for making comments about broad groups of people. So the hypocrisy, I think, is what kicked back on Stephen Colbert. Not Stephen Colbert's hypocrisy, but sort of like, okay, like if we're going to be getting upset at everyone about every thing that gets said, then we need to get upset about Stephen Colbert. And that's why there's a one-day delay on the outrage.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not genuine outrage.
Right.
it's freaking sham, media. Man. It's social media. It's a sham.
Well, it has happened more and more over the last 4 or 5 years that people are much more brave to attack through social media because there's no one standing in front of them to... You know, stop them from, you know, ranting and raving.
Yeah, it's a very
okay.
Strange
I think we
phenomenon,
spent way whole, too much
the whole
time
social media
on,
thing, and that's more like whatever. Stephen Colbert is a comedian; he can make all the jokes he wants, and he has to know that if he makes off color jokes, I felt it was out of character for him to go that off color. Like, you know me; I'm here saying like poop and penis and stuff like that because I think that there's funnier ways to say stuff like that without actually going blue. And there's no reason for him to have done that. And I think that he did a disservice to himself. And he also, now he has to deal with the blowback on all this. Plus, the irony of course, is maybe this was a good thing for him in the big scheme of things. Because everyone stopped talking about the Jimmy Kimmel thing.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like, no one cares about that anymore. Like, Jimmy Kimmel was very heartfelt storytelling of how his newborn son was having heart.
Right. So he went from a heart surgery sob story to Putin's cock holster.
Yeah. But this is America. That's how it is now.
Late night television.
And it's just like, it's like locusts, John. It's just like you eat it all up and then you go to the next thing.
And this will be it'll be no news in a couple of days and Colbert will wind up getting a couple of boosts. This show will be very highly watched by everybody. Even the people who were calling for him to be fired, they'll watch it just to see what he says. So this may be his highest rated show tonight.
Exactly. I mean, wait, look, I'm going to say one more thing about this. In a way, like, I dig it. Like, everybody's job is on the line, so you got to do what you got to do. Like, the reason why the New York Times and the Washington Post, two of the most respected newspapers in this country, the reason why they keep posting stories with misleading headlines and false stories in them is because people keep clicking on them. If people stopped clicking on the stories, they would stop doing it. But they're going to keep doing it because a misleading headline gets shared 10 times more than a flat-out headline. And then it's like, oops, we misspoke.
We live in the era of clickbait. We see it everywhere.
Yeah, so, and everyone's thirsty for it. There used to be this old expression on Twitter, thirsty for faves, where that was someone just really wants to get a lot of favorites on their tweets. Well, now it's everyone's thirsty for clicks and retweets and faves and at replies. And Twitter lets you see how much response you get. So they want the interactions. But
it's important, though, in today's culture, because that's a measurement that's used to monitor someone's Q scores.
Yeah, it's a currency. It is absolutely a currency. If I get 100 retweets every time I do something, that's going to get me more money, more exposure, more fame, more upward mobility than if I get two. And that's why see people buying followers, paying to get followers, paying to get retweets and faves on the stuff they post. That's why. It's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. Anyway, what else?
We have one last thing. And it's your pop culture favorite. I'll let you take this one. Because
Ryan Seacrest is joining Kelly Ripa. Kelly Ripa will be solo no more.
Have you ever watched the show?
I've seen clips, but I've seen it on TV. But I've never really watched the show.
Did you ever watch it with Regis? And
I love Kathy Regis. Lee? I've seen more of the show with Regis than I have with Kelly. I'm not a fan of Kelly Ripa, and this is not like a popular LA opinion, but I like Ryan Seacrest. Look, there are a lot of rumors going around for a while. He might be gay. He might be a closet, whatever. And there's like people like, who cares?
He's Ryan Seacrest. He owns LA.
Even if he's faking it, he's having fun. And he makes the things that he's doing seem like they're fun. And what's wrong with that being a part of society? That's what I said.
And one of the things that, I mean, I'm not a huge fan.
He's not going to say anything about Putin's cock holster.
No, but I'm not a huge fan. And it's not because I don't like him. I just don't know that much about him. I don't follow the Hollywood scene that much. But he does not overhype himself.
Yeah.
He just does his thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's got an engine.
He's a hardworking guy.
Yeah, and he's involved in everything.
Yes, and that's more what I mean by hardworking. Like, he is...
Yeah.
He took over the Dave Clark New Year's Countdown. Like, the guy is out there, you know? And it's not like, oh, wow, I can't wait to listen to him on the radio. But the guy's got a radio show, too.
Yeah, he does it all.
He does it all, and, you know...
I think he's a robot.
He might be a robot. He might be a robot. Yeah. Might be a gay robot. Who knows? Nothing wrong with that.
And on that note, good night to all the gay robots.